It is now time for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history here locally and all around the world. And joining us now to help us out with History Matters, or to lead the way while I give as much assistance as I possibly can, Scott Washington.
Hey, well, glad to be here, Aaron.
Local historian extraordinaire.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll have to live up to that now. But this week is one of those weeks, it's hard not to be excited. There is so much that happens this week. It's kind of incredible.
All right.
And a lot of it is around civil war and civil rights, interesting enough. So when you were talking about the comment period for people to weigh in, a nice segue into what's happening this week in history, we have the first shots of the Civil War, Fort Sumter, fired upon April 12th, 1861.
Okay.
And then we also have this week, too, which is interestingly enough, is when the surrender takes place at Appomattox on April 9th, 1865.
Okay.
Same week.
So it is literally a four-year war,
exactly.
Basically.
That's
yeah.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Now, but it does, of course, the narrative we typically hear is that it ends at Appomattox, but that's not actually true, because the Confederacy's policy of having freewheeling army and also communications were amiss. So there's still fighting going on. And it's within just this same week, actually, on the 16th, that, let me just back up, because there's so much that happens there. It's kind of an incredible month. But you have Appomattox, then Lincoln goes to Ford's Theater on Good Friday, and, of course, he's shot. He dies on the 15th.
Right.
And then the 16th, unbeknownst, is when Sherman and General Sherman and General Joe Johnson meet at Bennett Place. Mm-hmm. And the first person that, when Sherman had just learned the news of Lincoln's death, the first person he tells is Joe Johnson, who understands it's a catastrophe and things. But that's for next week. But that's an
exciting
chapter of all the things that happened this week. Interestingly enough, also we have civil rights in the news.
Mm-hmm.
April 9th, 1866 is when Congress passes the first sweeping kind of civil rights legislation after the 13th Amendment that allows people to vote. And the person who vetoes it is General Johnson.
I mean, Andrew Johnson.
Andrew Johnson.
Johnson in this case, yeah.
But here we are, and then almost 100 years later, same week, this is why it's so interesting, these things that happen. April 11th, 1968 is when the Voting Rights Act is signed by President Lyndon Johnson.
Fair Housing Act, right?
Fair Housing Act.
Yeah,
that's right. Yes, exactly. So it's really interesting that we have these two bookends, these things happening. And we've talked about how these interesting synchronicities happen. They're coincidence, but sometimes, as I've observed many times over in Hillsborough, the line between coincidence and synchronicity is kind of small. We also have, of course, when we think of April 15th, we think of Tax Day.
Tax Day,
but
right.
That's a relatively recent observance. Really, that stems from 1913, and then again, really since 1955, that's the day that normally we now, that was when a constitutional amendment was passed that allowed the Congress to tax everyone. And the tax goes back to the Civil War.
To the Civil War.
Yes.
And the fact that we are not paying taxes on April 15th, but rather a couple days later, also goes back to the Civil War, too, because Emancipation Day, which is April 16th, is a D.C. holiday, which therefore, for tax purposes, they don't pay their taxes until the day after Emancipation Day. So, therefore, neither does anyone else.
And I found that really interesting. And for those people who don't know about that, Emancipation Day was when...
Yeah, this is historically significant.
It really is. We of course, have the Emancipation Proclamation. But before that took effect on January 1st, 1863, Lincoln had already decided that the District of Columbia was... that could be enacted before then.
Right.
And so that's why that goes into effect earlier than the 1863 date. And so it began to be celebrated after the war. And then even when you had Jim Crow laws, it diminished, but then it revived. And because of that, and even in D.C. Today, where it's celebrated, this is not a federal holiday, but it affects the federal holiday. Mm. And that's why if you have April 15th fall on a weekend, the first, and also April 16th, more importantly, falls on a weekend, the first weekday is when Emancipation Day is celebrated. And that means that at least for 2 days, usually, you don't, you get the tax day celebrated on April 7th. Well, not celebrated, 17th, but marked.
Marked, yeah.
Yeah.
Commemorated.
Yeah.
Commiserated.
Yes.
On April 17th or 18th, yeah.
There's another couple of things. I'm telling you, this week is just chock full. This just gets me excited about just unusual stories, just the energy in this week alone. We've all seen the Tom Hanks movie, Apollo 13.
Yes.
That happened actually on April 3rd, 1970, when hear those famous words, Houston, we have a problem. Mm. And then, as we all know, that it's not just a bunch of people letting a computer fly it. It really does take an incredible skill. Yeah. And even being able to sight out the window of the stars where these astronauts had trained down at the Moorhead Planetarium for this particular occasion.
Exactly. Yeah,
and be able to make that. That's just phenomenal to realize just what it took to get these guys home.
Yeah.
And it's a tribute to their calmness and creativity under pressure. Reminds me a little bit of like when the Duke family was getting in the tobacco business and there were other competitors out there. And everyone was hand-rolling cigarettes. Some guy invented a way of a machine that would do this, but it kept breaking down, and every company said, no, we're going back to our tried and true. The Dukes look at this, and they said, you know what? Let's get that machine, but let's get the guy who fixes it. And troubleshooting machines, that's a huge thing. It's not as things go well, as we've seen with the Facebook, but when things go wrong, who's going to troubleshoot it? Who's going to figure out the problems? Yeah.
They figured out a way to put a whole bunch of hand rollers out of business. Well done, Duke family. Well done indeed.
But made the world safer for the rest of us.
We're talking about cigarettes here still. I'm like, made the world something.
Well, maybe that's a bit of a stretch. But that's how history is, too. You start going down the tangent, you go, let's go back to another.
Maybe not so much.
Right. But another thing that happens on late on the night of April 14th and then going into the 15th is when, in 1912, the Titanic sinks.
Okay.
Now, think about all these things that are happening this week. It's just kind of an amazing amount of interesting things that all happen at one time.
This also really underscores I've been saying underscore a lot today. I'm going to change that. And notice when you just start saying a word over and over and over. Today, my word is underscore. I don't know why.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
Today's word is underscore.
Say the secret word and you get nothing. Absolutely nothing.
But try to use it in your conversation to underscore the emphasis of that
it
word.
It makes you sound really smart when you do.
And we do that, as you can tell, when we're talking about history. We underscore important words and events.
Yes, exactly. But the fact that we were talking about Apollo 13, and that happened this year, but when we think about Apollo 13, our thoughts of it are now filtered through the movie, right? And the Titanic is the same way. Like, how much of history do we not really understand, but only understand through the kind of fictionalized depiction of it? Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great way that we get engaged. And I think that that shows that there's a real hunger when history is presented in compelling ways. It's fascinating, just like our show.
There you go.
It keeps people awake if you're driving, even better. If you're saying, well, I didn't know all this was but I think that is true. And that's why when it's taught in boring ways, it is horrible. But when we find interesting things, we hope it's the starting for people to say, gee, that's fascinating. Is that really? Let me find out more information. And hopefully that will lead you looking into your own genealogy or your own history or your own connection with history. And that's what makes it great fun, too.
Yeah. Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. It's a lot of kind of momentous, kind of negative things in history this week. You got the sinking of the Titanic, Lincoln, the firing
the Civil
on Fort
War,
Sumter,
Civil Rights,
a whole bunch of civil
stuff.
Civil rights is sort of positive, but also very serious.
Yes, very serious.
And also to talk about civil rights is also to talk about the need for civil rights, which is itself, which reminds us of sort of the nasty history of,
right.
of the United States leading up to it.
Well,
so.
Even at your lead-in talking about how mm-hmm. people could comment on the statues.
The statues
about
that, yeah.
Civil War.
Yeah.
I mean, here we're in the 21st century still talking about that
mm-hmm. yeah.
with great passion and relevance. Well, there are a couple of interesting, more on the lighter side. First VCR comes out 1956, April 14th. The safety pin is a patent is issued on April 10th, 1849, even though, according to some research, it had been invented 2,500 years earlier. I just don't think it got passed down.
Someone first thought the yeah. patent to be invented. Oh, so it was invented and then lost and then rediscovered,
right.
basically?
Yeah, somebody said,
oh, that's
this.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
There's a way of putting clothes together.
Oh, that must have been a fun archaeological discovery. Like, did someone leave this lying around? It's like, I think ancient Egypt did,
oh,
Gerald.
That's how they put those togas together. It makes sense now. But fellow who invented this in 1849, Walter Hunt, he received $400 for it when he sold it to W.R. Grace and Company, which was roughly about $10,000 in 2008 dollars. And he paid off a friend who owed $15 and kept the remaining $385 for himself. He didn't
That's
realize
good.
How many millions of dollars a safety pin would
You would have thought. Yeah.
Here's another thing that we take for granted every time you go into a grocery store, shopping carts. And on April 9th, 1940, is when the patent is granted to its inventor, an owner of a Humpty Dumpty grocery store.
We've talked about this, yeah. The old Humpty Dumpty grocery store.
You know, it was a great, people are grabbing, saying, do you have anything I can carry this in or mm-hmm. put this in? And trying to come up with something that would allow people to purchase groceries in greater mm-hmm. volumes than just a bagful, which was a very smart idea. But
yeah.
I don't think any of us can imagine us not having grocery carts at the large box stores
or
grocery stores.
Well, I mean the grocery cart really makes the big box store possible, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you not just the big box store, but like
big
kind of or the kind of Sam's Club, Costco
right.
kind of stores where you're going around and you're buying like 158 toilet paper rolls all
right.
at once, like you would look ridiculous carrying
right.
one of those things around and you only be able to buy one of them. The grocery
right.
cart makes modern shopping possible in
That's
a way
right.
that it wouldn't have been before.
Well, and then you have other places like in Europe and France
mm-hmm.
where you have open air markets. Every day
right,
people
right.
go and they buy
yes.
their fresh ingredients for that meal that day or that night. So
yep.
this is something that's an American invention based on the fact that we have a larger area. We just have a big country.
Yeah.
People are spread out. This makes much more sense.
One of my favorite stand-up comedians, Eddie Izzard, who's British, has this long routine. It's an older routine about trying to decide whether to take the basket or they call them trolleys, apparently,
oh, yes.
in Britain, to take
yeah.
the cart, the trolley. But like he's doing this for a British audience, so he's taking certain things for granted. And from an American mind, if you're listening to this, you have to pick certain things up from context clues, like the fact that you have to pay for a cart in
yes.
in British shopping, in British grocery stores. I didn't know that. Like, you have to put
really?
A quarter in and pull a cart
like
out.
Like the airport?
Yeah, yeah
oh
exactly.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because they don't take that for granted because, like you said, in France, the open air markets, you go and you shop for the day and you go home and you don't buy like a huge amount of
right.
huge quantity of groceries at any given time. And the other invention that makes that possible is the refrigerator. Because
that's
now
right.
you
oh,
can store
right.
a bunch of food. You can store it for a longer period of time. It keeps.
Right.
It doesn't spoil really quickly. So you can go to the grocery store and buy a week's supply or a couple weeks' supply. Come home, stick it in the fridge, and now you've got all of your groceries for 2 weeks, which then requires the grocery cart to walk around the grocery store in.
You see how
all of these inventions
of it, yes,
that
they,
just
they
sort
they
of come together.
Trigger one thing
yeah.
or another. That's like Bill Gates would say, well, when people were complaining about the size of programs, he said, they'll just make better computers that will do it. He didn't
yep.
care. And he
yeah.
was right. Build it and they will come.
Yeah.
Except and then, in Apollo 13, when they had to build it themselves.
And, build it and they will fly away.
Yeah.
Yes.
yeah.
And then you can open up the fridge. You can pull out your groceries. You can make dinner. And you can sit on the couch in your living room and watch a movie on your brand new VCR,
That's
which
right.
was invented this week.
But let's also remember that there wasn't electricity until well into the 20th century, mm-hmm. even till after the war in some places in the country, where places were wired for electricity, but they didn't get it because mm-hmm. the war effort, and that just was
a game changer.
You're
talking about World War II, right?
Yes, World War II, yeah. Which is just, you know, to realize how much has occurred since then is really quite amazing.
One of the most fascinating things about, we went up to, this was a couple of years ago now, yes. we went up to Charlottesville to see a Fleetwood Mac concert, but we'll just see Monticello while we're there.
Yeah.
So we're at Monticello touring around, and this huge, like, well pit that they use to store ice to keep the ice cold enough to not melt in the Virginia summer.
Right.
And then they use that ice to cool the things that needed to be cooled down, but just the great lengths that they had to go to in order to keep things cold prior to the development of sort of indoor electricity and the invention of the refrigerator.
Over in Hillsboro, there is one of these ice houses mm-hmm. that still exists.
Ice houses, yeah,
yes,
that's
exactly,
it.
Exactly, which is really just a giant structure that's stuck into the ground, mm-hmm. and it was for that very purpose, which it's just hard to imagine people thinking that way. But as I pointed out to someone, I said, you know, we were camping as humanity for a long period of time.
Yes, yeah. Like what we think of as going rustic and camping. Yeah. That was just life for hundreds of thousands of years.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. So, and we are, as humanity has survived pretty heartily, but it is a more recent development, and there are still places in the world where even basic things like having running water is important. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine who is in Sierra Leone with her husband, they dig wells, mm-hmm. and I said, what do you mean for people who isn't the regular construction doing that though? They said, no, these are people who've never had that before.
Yeah,
and who's actually listened to WCHL? Probably one of the farthest listening posts, 5,000 miles away.
That's pretty far. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
streaming
good.
Online.
Good.
That's right.
It's that AM signal, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
We leave it turned up too high at night, and it just carries.
WCHL, local to planet Earth.
Local to literally everyone. All right, we got Scott Washington here. History Matters. We got time for one more. What do you
got? It's the first European beach trip to the Outer Banks. Happens April 9th, 1585.
Ooh.
That's when Sir Ralph Lane sailed with 107 colonists to what we now know as America,
mm-hmm.
and he went to what is Ocracoke, or the Outer Banks. They called it Wakokan, or Wokokan.
Like you do.
And they established a colony there. It was actually successful for a couple of months, and then they started running low on their supplies and reluctantly had to return home. But you might say it was the first successful round trip.
Yeah. Also the
this
first...
This is not a lost colony.
Also
no,
the first
later.
Last minute evacuation off of Ocracoke Island. Like, sorry, we clipped the power line. Everyone's going to have to go.
That's right. No Highway 12 there. but yeah, that's kind of an interesting realization that we hear a lot about the lost colony. But there really was this first colony, and it was successful, and it stimulated interest in this new world and showed that it could be possible to get here in one piece, survive, and return. And that set the stage for later development and later colonization.
There you have it. This week in history, History Matters. Scott Washington, as always, great
Thank
time.
Thank you, Aaron. A great week.